This is Bill Teeple. I'm here with Alan Cobb, and this is Icon Art Radio. Well, Alan asked me to talk a little bit about the show that's on at Icon right now.
No, I didn't. What are you saying? I thought we were talking about Van Gogh today.
Oh, you know you did.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Sorry. All kidding aside, Bill, tell me about the fun show. What's a fun show?
I think you got in the spirit already.
Good.
Well, it opened on July 1st, 2011. And it's running through September 10th of 2011. So if you're hearing this show repeated, you missed it.
But if you know what would be even more fun? Would be if it ran through September 2012. That'd be like a whole year of additional fun.
Well, I see you've gotten in the spirit, Alan.
I'm trying. Actually, I'm in a really bad mood.
That was the whole idea, was that I wanted to take the lid off a little bit and have some fun. And actually, I've been planning this show for over a year. I was going to do this last summer, and we ran into some needs to do a big art auction last year, and that got Icon back in the black. As everyone knows, Icon is a nonprofit, and it's supported by memberships and donations and fundraising events. So we canceled the fun show and did a fundraiser to get ourselves in the black again, and we're still in existence 1 year later, so that's good. So this year I was able to put the fun show together, and I have looked all over the state for work that sort of encapsulated the abstract quality of fun. Some of it has subject matter that's fun. Some of it is abstract painting that is fun. Just the way it's painted makes you almost laugh. There's goofy, wacky stuff. It's all over the map. But the one curatorial decision had to do with whether that quality of fun was in there. And so it's been a lot of fun to put it together. So I actually have drawn from all of the major galleries in the region. So, you know, if the work is a little too serious, even if there's a fun element, if it's too serious, too much artistic posturing, too much any of that stuff, it had to cross, it couldn't go over into anything that was too artsy.
Yeah.
It had to stay in that lively fun area. So I brought in work from artists from Des Moines. I borrowed work from the Olson Larson Gallery and Moberg Gallery. I borrowed work from an artist from Campbell Steele Gallery in Cedar Rapids. I borrowed from Chait Gallery in Iowa City.
So this isn't just a collection of paintings and images that happened to be handy in Fairfield. This is
I started a little corner down in the basement to put things in there that I thought qualified.
That's
on
fun.
The level of wacko or just playfully fun or pretty fun colors or what. From both my students and from local artists, I started a little corner, and then I started to pull from other artists around the state that had that quality. And I actually went online and located a few artists I hadn't even found yet, because I was still trying to fill in some spots with the art. And so I went online and I located Tim Dooley up at University of Northern Iowa, who teaches at University of Northern Iowa, and he and his friend Aaron Wilson do wacko installations. Kind of crazy. Although they're a little bit of political and edgy and statement. And we got to stay away from political and edgy and artistic, godly postured. And we got to stay right in that full-on lane of fun for this show.
Yeah. Political can be funny, but it isn't fun. There's an important difference.
The emphasis starts to be on one of these other areas, then it was getting off the groove I was after.
Yeah.
So but Tim Dooley and Aaron Wilson, I'm talking with them about doing an installation show down the road. I never heard of him before, but he's a longtime teacher at University of Northern Iowa, and he teaches mm-hmm. printmaking. So he sent down some silk screens mm-hmm. That are absolutely pristinely, beautifully wacko.
Oh, how nice. Very. That's a good juxtaposition of qualities. Pristine, wacko.
Well, they're beautifully done mm-hmm. Very colorful mm-hmm. and crazy nutty.
Kind of like the cartoons for The New Yorker that William Blake used to do.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, in the early European edition of The New Yorker.
That's right, right. So this was sort of like taking the lid off. I think I've maybe talked on the show. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I'm turning 65 this year, mm-hmm. and I'm feeling like I'm the older people are supposed to be allowed to get a little bit like eccentric.
Yes.
So cantankerous. I'm allowing myself to get a little eccentric. You know, we have the reputation of showing really high-end serious art.
Yeah.
And this is all really good art. So I haven't relaxed my standards, mm-hmm. but kind of getting away from the way it has to be done into yeah. an area of like, what is just fun? That's where we went with this. In fact, Janet, instead of making the usual gallery guide with the numbers on the wall, made numbers on the wall that were sort of big and colorful. Uh-huh. And so in a way, we're sort of having fun with the whole idea of being an art gallery and doing the art gallery thing.
Speaking of Janet's guide to the show, I was looking at that and I got the distinct impression that every single one of those numbers was different.
Oh yeah, she's Janet.
It's
you know,
like 40 numbers, and they're all different.
Graphic art that she does for the gallery—it's her art
yeah.
form.
Yeah,
she gets deeply into it, and this one, she really spent a lot of time.
I believe it.
Producing a gallery guide that was a piece of art for herself.
Yeah,
she spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
Just on the numbers.
Yeah,
they first look she good. Took. The images, the art images, mm-hmm. and reduced them down or took a portion of one and made a little square of uh-huh. one of the art images from the show.
Oh, for the background.
For the background. Number. And then wow. she took yeah. about 20 different fonts that yeah. were all fun fonts.
Yes, yes.
And she put those on the background. Then she had to scramble it so that we didn't, so that we could do 1 through 80 or so, however many mm-hmm. pieces of art are in the show.
So no two
so you
would
didn't have,
end up next
so
to each
you
other.
Didn't have five of the same kind of font
yeah.
next to each other.
Right.
And that was actually not all that easy to do. She had to like scramble them on the page
yeah.
and then we
yeah.
had to cut them up and it was...
Well, I noticed that she did that, so...
That was right. I'll tell her that. See,
tell her somebody
noticed.
I actually first noticed it in the little, you know, flyer because I was... I took one with me. There was something about it that caught my eye, and it's not like it makes great reading material to read a list of people's names with numbers next to them, but when I took a closer look, I realized that and the numbers on the flyer are tiny. You know,
yeah.
they're like a quarter of an inch high.
I didn't know whether you could read them at all, but you can, kind
but
of.
You can tell that they're all different, and that I thought, oh, wait a minute. Janet spent more than a half an hour in Photoshop on that one.
And each of them is blown up to about an inch square.
Yeah.
So it's a big number, sort of
yeah,
like
a big cartoon
saying,
number.
Here's the number. You
right.
know, we have numbers in galleries.
Yeah.
But they're very sophisticated. It's supposed to be kind of small and unnoticeable. But this time
right.
it's sort of like made
right.
a thing.
In
of
your
it.
Face.
So those are all blown up and around on the walls. And it all makes one big, big aesthetic experience.
Yeah.
And what I like is that almost every piece in the show, even sort of the knickknacks we picked out to stick mm-hmm. here and there, they kind of encapsulate this feeling that I was after. Everything
yeah.
in there encapsulates
yeah.
that feeling.
I love I think there's a little bear that's about a quarter of an inch tall.
Right.
Sitting on a pedestal yeah. with a few larger pieces.
Well, Janet actually was responsible for actually some of those things emerging from the basement mm-hmm. and the still life zone and where we keep
yeah.
lots of stuff in the mask making
yeah.
areas. In fact, I think she dismantled a damaged mask that had some parts on
mm-hmm.
it. And we But I'm the way I place those. And I was looking all over for some way to display marbles so you could actually experience the beauty of the marbles without the the vase or something that they're in dominating the whole thing. So I found that one flat vase that we could put marbles in and create a little kind of a screen almost of marbles with those little knickknacks. So this is the kind. It was like making a painting. The whole every exhibit, all curating is like doing a painting with other people's strokes. You put those strokes that they made together in a greater painting that is a expression of your inner life, and that's what curating is all about. But this one was particularly fun to do that way. So we have over 30 artists in the show.
Wow.
And we said in the advertising over 100 works of art, and there's easily over 100 works of art because there were like 75 or 80 numbered pieces, but some of those pieces had 5 elements, and one of them has 24 elements, 24 paint. The Chris Vance piece, which is the bodies with the interchangeable heads. It's got 12 bodies and 12 interchangeable heads. And he's a
that's up in the mezzanine.
Big time Des Moines artist. He's very, very popular in Des Moines.
So say something about the hanging view boxes on the mezzanine. Those are really
for those of you who noticed a tiny circus come through town last year. The people that did an animation workshop and then projected the product that they did in Fairfield and then all other films that they'd made, little animated films on the square. They have this little Airstream trailer and then they projected out the back of the little tiny Airstream onto a screen in the evening for all the people. We all sat out there in the park last year and experienced Tiny Circus's fun animations. Well, the mastermind and brain behind that whole thing is Carlos Ferguson. And we have some of Carlos Ferguson's boxes, which are really quite well known amongst those who have experienced them in the state. He's out of Grinnell, and he shows at Olson Larson Gallery, which is the main gallery, one of the main galleries up in Des Moines. And that's where I saw these things in the first place. In fact, I was attracted to him as an artist because he's quite a versatile artist and as a painter. And then he made these boxes, which made me think, oh, this is quite an expansive, artistic person here. And then I found out that he was the mastermind behind Tiny Circus. And so he's always been a curious and interesting character to me. So I arranged with him to bring the boxes down. And this could be even their final showing because he's not very interested in galleries anymore. He's totally sold out to art for everyone and interactive art and community interactive art. And so the Tiny Circus is how he's accomplishing that for enlivening arts for the common man and bringing them into the artistic process. This is his big deal. He goes all over. He goes to Washington, D.C., Tennessee, and down in that region. He's got this sort of a tour he does every year now with his Tiny Circus thing. And that's his, he's not, he's more of an egalitarian art type at this point, as opposed to the pristine elitist realm of the art gallery. It's not that he's against it, he just has sort of drifted away from it.
So for anybody who may have just tuned into the show, this show is supposed to be airing on July 10th, I believe. That's Sunday,
2011.
So if it's still 2011 when you're hearing this and it's not yet mid-September, then by all means, get over to Icon Gallery and see the fun show. We're talking right now about a series of little boxes hanging from the ceiling. And they're suspended in such a way that you can lift them up and down to get them at eye level, because each box has one or two eye openings in it. And it's quite an eye-opening experience to peer into them and see the little universes that have been created. And they're worth the price of admission all by themselves.
The mezzanine was really the huts. Well, the place, we had 700 people through on the opening night.
Wow.
For this show. And every there are people, the one reason I want to bring it out and let people know on the radio is that a lot of people, the entire broad base of people who enjoy coming in ICON all like this show.
Wow.
And some have said it's the best show we've ever had. So everybody should come out and see for themselves what they think. But the mezzanine was one of the hot spots because we had Carlos Ferguson's boxes and we had what's called the Bill's Portrait Show, which everybody has loved. And I knew that the time would come sometime when I would let people see these things.
Mm-hmm.
But my students and some of my artistic friends have been making little pictures of me for the last at least 9 years, because we noticed that the earliest ones that people had done were 2002.
Wow.
And it was some women in my classes decided, wouldn't it be fun to draw some pictures of Bill?
Well, that was right after you first moved here, wasn't it?
No, I mean, it was when we were first, when our early days up at the old art
Gallery
studio.
51.
Yeah. I started teaching in end of 98.
Oh, okay.
When I first came here. Then we moved over to where Gallery 51 East was and my teaching studio in 2001, I think. And then because there were empty spaces there, I rented some some rooms available and I rented them and I just started hanging some art in there. And that's how the whole Gallery 51 East and ICON began. But that was where, at that point, the women decided, let's draw some pictures of Bill. And they did these little pictures. You know, they were just sort of having fun trying to draw me, but not too seriously. But then, that first day that they did this, one of the women made something completely silly. She did me as a fairy with little wings and stuff. And that just set the whole, set a direction for the whole thing towards like, let's do silly things with Bill. And then the teenage kids saw what was going on. And they just ran with the ball. The teenagers just like started to get hilarious. And it just so happened that one of the teenagers was just a funny, really funny, humorous person. And she came up with some fantastic stuff. And then over the year, for a couple of years, people were doing it off and on. And then it sort of faded. It sort of forgot about it. Then when the fun show, and every now and then I'd mention it to somebody and they say, oh, I'll do a Bill. And so one would pop out every now and then, but it wasn't until I realized that the time to show these off would be the fun show. They fit perfectly with the feeling of the fun show. So a couple of months ago, I told people, I think we were looking at them for some reason. We brought them out and looked at them because I was thinking of the fun show. And I started to tell people, you know, you could make some more if you want, some of my students and some of my artistic friends. And so some really cool stuff started to flow in at the end, not the least of which is Alan's Bill with red shoes. I'm known for my red,
big red shoes,
my red clogs. Alan gave me balloon clown shoes,
right,
which led to somebody else drawing doing a watercolor of me with the clown shoes and the clown nose. But this is the kind, you can see where this all starts to build and people really start to run with the whole idea. So there's Benita Versch, who had worked for Flintstones. Who made the Flintstones?
Hanna-Barbera.
She worked there for years. Then she became her own animation art director out in LA for years.
Yeah, she
made a caricature of me that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the artists like Ken Dubin made a fantastic piece with an artistic almost one of his paintings behind me, with me springing forward on springs in the foreground with a kind of vibrating motion that he created with his with Photoshop. And there's a famous artist named Tiepolo. So John Stimson took a Tiepolo, a famous Tiepolo, and turned it into a Bill Tiepolo with me as in the Madonna holding Bill, which is reminds me of one of Molly Brooks, who's that teenager who did it back when she was a teenager. She's now graduating from art school. She did Madonna and Bill, and she did Bill, the Bill Elisa. She did a Buns of Steel Bill also, a very famous one, and Bill on the Red Carpet. And, you know, she just started getting on a roll. But that's what people do. And that, this brings up something that has been the most important element in doing these, is that it unleashes spontaneous creativity. Because if people feel they're being given an assignment or a task to do something, and they feel also compelled to make something that is art or is good art and not bad art, or what are people going to think, they almost always do something boring. Because all of those things squeeze you and make you play it safe, and you end up making what everybody else makes because it's safe and it's boring. But the bill, when people start doing the bills, they totally forget about that they're even making art, or that whether it's going to be good or not. They just start sailing with the concept. And they think, oh, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do it with this, and I could bring, you know. And it just is a complete spontaneous expression of creativity.
Yeah. Having
so I've used, I mean, that's how I've used this over the years. It's an example of that, and it gets people moving and being creative. And so the whole wall, and then people come in, and they just have wave after wave of enjoyment, and their boundaries expanded by having watched, I mean, having been exposed to other people playing with the edges of the boundaries spontaneously. It's really neat.
Well, for the it's sort of ironic that we would even be talking about the idea of people having fun with art, because you'd think that a person would want to do art because it's fun. I mean, it's not likely to be profitable. So why else would you do it? You know, it's a, it's a personal exploration. It's a way of challenging yourself. It's a way of refining skill and so forth. But still, if it isn't fun, it's hard to explain why people do it. And yet, once you start doing it and people notice that you're doing it, then suddenly you have to be really careful not to do something that's terrible.
But I find that the very best artists, the really famous ones that who establish significant reputations, somehow are able to stay on that cutting edge, that riding the wave of creativity that is surges up from inside of themselves, and they don't allow themselves to be squelched by other people or squelched by their own doubts. They just like go with it, and they just keep exploring, and you know that they're having fun. I mean, they challenge themselves, and they really want to get it right. So it's, in a way, it's a kind of struggle that way. But it's to get at that experience of richness and fullness and happiness that it delivers. And you can tell that they're just after that. And they're not like thinking too much of what anybody else is going to think, or whether they're, you know, they don't play it safe. They usually are like risk. There's a lot of risk taking in that. That's why people don't go there or stay there. And that's why that it's a handful of people that are able to just ride that and ride it to fame. Because the most people stop off somewhere along the way because it's too scary.
Yeah, it's too bad there isn't some way to just turn off the fear of criticism.
Well, the funny, I mean, the really cool thing is that this Bill thing,
Well, that's where you know from the get-go that it doesn't count.
It's so, you like, oh, I'm not you know, making serious art anymore. I can make a bill, and then they make art. I mean, it's really interesting. Yeah. So I've got some of the famous artists from the region that are in this show, to get back to the fun show, the rest of the fun show.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Jeffrey Thompson from Des Moines, who does these very beautifully painted cartoon images. He's mm-hmm. got yellow submarine kind of like images, and he's got spy versus spy, mm-hmm. comic book, mad comic book imagery. He started out just drawing pictures of toys, toys that were sort of those kind of toys that he had bought, and he just mm-hmm. started drawing them. But they sort of morphed into beautiful oil paintings with those themes. And part of what makes them so good is the craftsmanship. And they're not like, there's a little bit of a dark side to it mm-hmm. that makes them curiously interesting.
Yeah. But his technique is very good. I mean, they're really nice.
Paintings. Top quality classical painting technique. And that's why they work so well.
Yeah.
And the there was, who else is it? And Chris Vance, who does the Goofy, the ones that had the 24 bodies and the 24 heads. They're goofy and cartoon-like. But the way they're put together, they're very professionally produced. So they have a, it's like, when an artist does that, there's this quality of like, I really mean this. Even mm-hmm. though they're being goofy and funny, if it's packaged a certain way, then there's like, it's punctuated with, and I really mean this, you know, it's serious for me that you take me serious, and you take this serious. Then we've got Richard Kelly of Des Moines, who's, you just have to come in and see. Marianne and Friends is the ones that I like so much and had to get in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of Marianne and Friends cruising and Marianne and Friends crossing the Delaware. And who else have we got that I want to bring out? One of my favorite pieces is Diane Naylor from town. Mm-hmm. Her piece, it's called The Prophecy as You Walk in the Door.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've just had a lot of fun putting this together, and I hope people get down there and can see it before September 10th of 2011.
What are the gallery hours?
Noon to 4, Tuesday through Saturday.
Great.
Or by appointment.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.